Ramsey TV.
I love talking about Jesus Christ because then I don't have to talk about myself. And you don't have to hear me talk about myself. Not that I usually talk about myself. I don't. I do once in a while, but it's far more interesting and exciting. Yes, exciting. I'll say exciting. Sounds a little Pentecostal, but I am excited about bringing you this truth out of Colossians chapter 1. Thank you for being with me in my Honda Accord in an alley in Fort Lauderdale where I make sense. Actually, I make sense in my car. I make sense in my cottage. I make sense at the grocery store. I make sense wherever I am because God has given me, I guess you have to say, a spirit of making sense. Before we get into Colossians chapter 1, a continuation of yesterday, of the person of Jesus Christ and the accomplishments of Jesus Christ. I have a link down here to a video blog by Matthew Michelson. This guy, I met him in Richmond, Virginia last year, I think it was. Maybe it was earlier this year. Spoke at a conference there. He's from Colorado. He's made a few very straightforward, dead-on accurate videos about God and Christ and their work in salvation. His video blog is called The Gospel of the Salvation of Everyone. Very simple and straightforward. And his presentation is simple and straightforward. No theme song from this guy. See, I'm the only guy with a theme song. I don't know what that says about me, but so be it. I'm proud of my theme song, but sometimes I use it, sometimes I don't. I think it's kind of fun. But anyway, you need to go to that link down there. Go to watch the videos of Matthew Michelson. What a sincere guy. Again, straightforward. And he has got the gospel of Christ down cold. Now, Colossians chapter 1, I started yesterday with verse 15. Very sweeping, all-inclusive statements here about Jesus Christ. The image of the invisible God. That's why people can look at Christ like Thomas and say, my Lord and my God. You remember Thomas said that when he saw Jesus Christ's nail prints and the wound on his side, said he wouldn't believe that Jesus raised unless he saw him. And then once he got that evidence to satisfy his little Jewish evidence-craving soul, then he believed. And he said, my Lord and my God. That's perfectly fine. With the understanding that, of course, Jesus Christ is not the same person as God, but we can look at Jesus Christ and say, there's God, because of how he's the image of God. Just as you can look at a photograph of my son Gabe and say, there's Gabe. Yep, there's Gabe. It's not literally Gabe, it's a piece of paper with an image on it. You understand? Jesus Christ is not literally God the Father, but we can say he's God the Father. He's God because it's the perfect image of God. The perfect image of God. It doesn't make him God. He never claimed to be God. He claimed to be the Son of God. These are some of his most epic glories described here in Colossians 1. And to make him a part of the Trinity, to say that, oh, he's not the Son of God, he is God. It's just you're insulting all of his glories described here. He's the image of the invisible God, the image of the invisible God. It pleases him to do his Father's will. It pleases him to demonstrate to sentient beings, to beings who depend on the five senses for revelation, to reveal God to them. That's his glory. Firstborn of every creature. How can he be the firstborn of every creature if he existed eternally as part of a mystical Godhead? He can't. So again, Trinitarians are taking away another of his glories. They're taking away every single one of his glories. For in him is all created. And pair this with 1 Corinthians 8:6, all is out of God and through Christ. So in Christ and through Christ was all created. And in case you don't know what all means, Paul goes into detail that in the heavens, that on the earth, the visible, the invisible, whether thrones or lordships or sovereignties or authorities, all is created through him. See, it's in this passage too. No need for the corroborating 1 Corinthians 8:6, but I like to go to it when I can. And it's created through him and for him. For he is before all, except for God, which you would know from the context of this passage, all has its cohesion in him. I love this truth of cohesion because it is why I can put my coffee mug on a table and it doesn't disintegrate or fly away. Cohesion is the only reason I'm in my car speaking to you, and that there's an order of the universe that keeps things from flying apart, which is physically impossible apart from an intelligent force, because there's so much latent energy, as was discovered in the atom. There's so much latent energy just in the material of creation that if it were not controlled, and people don't know how it's controlled, people don't understand how things keep going the same every day. How can the solar system, for instance, be so orderly? How can the tides be so orderly? It's because there is a cohesion. There is a keeping together, and that keeping together is in Jesus Christ. He's been given all the power of God. He is delegated by God to speak for him, to take his titles even, and to be worshipped as God. That's what a perfect image he is. And since he has all power given to him by God, it's just like, consider this, it's just like Pharaoh. This is only an example. I'm not saying God is Pharaoh. Just follow me. This is an example. Pharaoh, when he realized how smart Joseph was, Joseph could interpret dreams, Joseph was in tune with Elohim, then he gave Joseph the command of Egypt. And he gave Joseph all, put a ring, the robe, and everything, and he announced to his people, this is Joseph, obey him, listen to this guy. Joseph was first in everything except the throne. Pharaoh said, only the throne is withheld from you. You ain't going to sit on his throne and take the title king of Egypt, but you're going to be prince, you're going to be numero dos, numero dos. So that's just a dim example of what Christ is to God. You say God shares the throne with Christ, but think about this. Where is Christ? Seated at the right hand of God. That's where I see him in the scriptures. How can it be that Christ is the same as the Father if he's seated at the right hand of God? Seems like he's a separate being. And indeed, he is. And it's not blasphemous to say that. It's not demeaning him. In fact, you're demeaning him, his glories, by insisting he's the Son of God when he is desperately trying to tell you that he's not. By insisting that he's God. You're demeaning him by insisting that he is God when he is desperately trying to tell you that that's not the case. I love this cohesion thing. You don't realize how everything is supernaturally kept together every day. I, Martin Zenry, cannot understand how 100 airliners don't crash every day. I mean, it's just such a complicated machine, these aircraft with those whirring turbines in the General Electric engines. I think General Electric is the biggest maker of airline engines. But it seems incredible. And you can say, well, that's human ingenuity. Well, relatively, yes, absolutely. It's the ingenuity of God. And it's just way bigger than that, that we are not involved right now in a giant nuclear explosion that will destroy the Earth. The reason we're not involved in that today, the reason I'm in my car and you're going to work, or later you're going to go to the grocery store and buy eggs, is because there's no nuclear detonation that is destroying the Earth and the solar system. It's very convenient to have a non-exploding solar system. very convenient for the watering of your yard, for the preparing of a meal for your husband and your children. Very convenient for that. Because I would think that a nuclear explosion that would destroy the Earth and the solar system would be an impediment to the creation of a tuna casserole, to the creation of, let's say, a cabinet. Somebody's building a cabinet right now in some shop somewhere. A nuclear explosion that would destroy not only our solar system, but the entire universe, it would not be a conducive, shall we say, meteorological or cosmological situation for, say, dressing your children for school. So we go on. I love this cohesion, but I'm making a big deal of cohesion because of what follows. And I lost my place here in my scriptures. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, here we go. All is this cohesion in him. And he, this is verse 18 of Colossians chapter 1. And he is the head of the body, the ecclesia. I'm going to stop right there. And this is the most outrageous, the most unlikely, the most incredible statement that can be made. And because it's in the Bible and we've read it 1,000 times, we completely miss the epicness of this. And if this was the only passage in the entire Bible, this would totally shut us up in awe and marvel of what is happening today with us. Because the supernatural being I just described to you, namely Christ Jesus, is the one who created everything through the power of God that was granted to him. He is so magnificent, so great, that he is the image of God. God. God is the only reason any of us are here. He's the only reason. God. He created everything through Christ. I mean, I can't. Human words cannot express what God is, who God is. He's so awesome that he's beyond any stupid thought your little cerebral cortex or your medulla oblongata could kick in and express with your slimy little tongue. He is so unreachable. He's so high, so unreachable, that the only way he can be even dimly grasped is if he creates an image that is relatable to the creatures that this image will consequently create. Follow this before I get back to the epicness of the statement I just read. God created Christ. Christ came out of God. I shared that verse with you yesterday. Revelation 3:14, Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, is the original of the creation of God. He was created to deal with a problem that did not yet exist. Makes me think that God is preemptively wise. Makes me think that God has the entire script written out. Because the only reason there would be a need for a being who could translate the essence, the character, the love, the grace of God, the only need for that would be if there were creatures to be created who could only understand, who would be limited by, let's say, 5 senses instead of 3,005, which there's probably 3,005 senses available. We're going to find this out when we're snatched away and we're delivered from mortality to immortality. We're going to find out just how sick, how sickeningly limiting these 5 senses have been. We think it's great because that's all we've known. And I got 5 senses, man. Not one, not two. I got five. Some people don't have that even. Some people are blind. Some people are deaf. Some people, I don't, can some people not smell? Probably. So it's embarrassing. I feel bad for those people. But when you see how many senses are available that have been withheld from us, you're going to feel sorry for people, for yourself, who had only five senses. You don't realize how limited we are. I got five senses. Oh boy, that's really something. Only because you don't know any different. The one who is in the heavens and created everything, everything that is on earth, everything that is visible or invisible, tell me one thing that's accepted from that. It's either visible or not visible. Is there a third category? No. He created everything, whether thrones or lordships or sovereignties or authorities, all is created through him, for him. He was before all, and he has his cohesion. All has its cohesion in him. So the same one who makes everything hold together. And the only reason anyone on the planet today, including celebrities and sports stars and rock stars and country western singers, all these great people of the eon, did I mention movie stars? All these great people of the eon, that they're so great, we worship them. They make awesome movies. They sing great songs like, babe, I got you, babe. I got you, babe. I got you, babe. I got you, babe. What a tremendous contribution to humanity. These people can only do what they do because of the cohesion of all things through Christ. And it is this one who is the head of the body, the ecclesia. That's the shock. We have an intimate connection. I gotta slow down. We have an intimate connection with the number two in the universe, who has an intimate connection with numero uno, who has the most intimate connection there could possibly be with numero uno. He is not only the head of our little organization, and I do mean a little organization, because I'm not talking about Christians here, certainly not talking about Buddhists or Hindus or Islamic types. I'm talking about a very small group of people on the earth today called the body of Christ, who believe the gospel of Paul, who was commissioned by Christ to give us the riches, richest treasures of grace that have been stored in the heart of God. Christians don't believe any of this. We know that. I've gone through this with you over the years. Christians don't believe Jesus Christ was a successful Savior. Salvation depends on you. They don't believe God is sovereign, because every single human being has their own realm of sovereignty. That's called free will. So Christians don't believe that salvation was wrought by Jesus Christ. No, because they put everybody in the same boat at birth, which is your default setting, doomed to hell. Unless sometime in your life you manage to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and believe in Jesus. So the body of Christ is very small. If I were to give an estimate to you today of the number of people in the body of Christ alive today, not over the period of the last 2,000 years, but alive today, I would say if it's 5,000 people, I'm shocked. Yeah, if it's 5,000 people, I'm shocked. Remember, we're dealing with the same God who saved 8 people in the days of Noah. And our Lord said that these last days will be like the days of Noah. I actually think 500 people is more likely, but it's probably somewhere in between there. This is my guess. I'm going to do a show soon on this topic. It doesn't really matter. It's up to God. I mean, we don't have to figure this out. It's everything we're doing on this topic is guessing. It's all supposition. Yet we know, one thing we do know, is that God is always throughout the scriptures working with, he's working with small groups, very small groups, 12 disciples, 3 patriarchs. 2 people came out of the wilderness when Israel left Egypt. 2 survived. The rest were unbelievers, and they were struck down dead in the wilderness, including Moses, who doubted God. So it's the earth and its history of the communication with God is strewn with unbelief. And of course, you know that I'm not excluding the unbelievers. I'm not excluding Christians or Muslims or Hindus or Buddhists. They're all in the same camp. Christians, Muslims, Hindus, and Buddhists. They're all the same. They're unbelievers. They're just different kinds of unbelievers. I'm not excluding them from being saved in the end, because we know that God is the Savior of all humanity, especially of believers, not exclusively, but especially 1 Timothy 4:10. I'm not excluding them. I'm just saying that right now, the body of Christ is a small group that God and Christ, this epic Savior, this epic numero dos, who is an intimate connection with numero uno, excuse me, the big daddy, I'm sorry to say that, the big kahuna, numero uno, okay? Some Israel types can't even pronounce his name. They can't even say Yahweh. I'm calling him the big kahuna. I'm calling him numero uno, okay? Because I'm intimately acquainted with him. And I mean no disrespect to him. And you know that. And he knows that. I'm really good friends with God. Really good friends with God. Because I found out he's at perfect peace with me. So when I came to believe that message, I realized that I had an intimate, close friends relationship with numero uno through numero dos. And the marvel of having this intimate connection. I mean, people talk about knowing people. Like, you don't get anywhere in life unless you know people. You know, it's who you know or who you blow that you get anywhere in life. Talk about knowing someone. Talk about having a friend in high places. People love it when, say, the president is at a news conference or somewhere, and everybody likes to whisper something to the president when they're walking past the cameras. Why? Because I know the president. I'm an intimate of the president. The president listens to me. Everybody likes to appear with famous people. You want to stand next to them. You want to be seen next to them. And the famous people I'm talking about are movie stars, people who write songs like, I got you, babe, I got you, babe, I got you, babe. These people, everybody wants to be with them, next to presidents, prime ministers, premiers. But we are intimately acquainted. We are connected in places that are so high that they can barely be described with human language. And yet, this great one that I've been describing today, that I described yesterday, that I'm going to continue to talk about tomorrow, is the head of this small little group of people being groomed for a role in the divine administration in the next eon among the celestials. He is now communicating his thoughts, his truths, his desires, his plans to us. Talk about a private word. Talk about a connection. Do you want a connection? This is the greatest connection anyone on earth could possibly have, and you have it. But it's so great that it completely exists outside of the radar of the world and of the leaders of the world and of the chiefs of this world and of the celebrities of this world. They cannot even conceive of the level of intimacy we have with a being whose level of greatness is so far beyond anything the world knows that they can't even approach the hem of its garment. And yet we are not only in the confidence and in the throne room and in the behind the scenes places of this great deity and the son of the deity, but we embrace them and they embrace us. And very soon the world will see in open manifestation what you and I today enjoy in intimacy. And I say to you, enjoy the intimacy while you have it, because very soon this relationship that we have with God and His Son will be made public in a most awe-inspiring manner.